Hey, property insiders, I'm Mike Stenhouse, and this is the Inside Property Investing Podcast. You are in the right place if you are an aspiring or existing investor looking to build a portfolio and a property business that works for you. And from this podcast, you're going to learn from all of my insights and advice from over a decade in the industry, as well as the lessons learned from hundreds of other successful investors. So you can listen to what worked for them and avoid what didn't. I hope you enjoy today's podcast, and whatever you're up to today, I hope you have a fantastic day. Thanks for listening. Today's guest, Daniel Blacker, a couple of months back towards the start of this year when he attended one of our commercial to residential open days. And he shared an introduction at the start of the day, as all of our guests and attendees do. And immediately I knew he was the type of person that I wanted to get on and share his story with you for some inspiration and motivation, and just to show you what is possible in a short space of time. He came at this around about 7 years ago, and by this I mean his venture into the property world, alongside his dad and his brother, looking to build up a business that would help them all create more freedom, more opportunity in their life. They started off with rent to rent. They focused on that pretty exclusively for the first several years, building up a very exciting and very profitable portfolio with, you know, limited cash. Rent to rent needs some investment, but it's one of, if not the cheapest way to get into property. But then they did what I think is one of the most sensible choices for rent to rent investors. They started to focus on buying assets themselves as well. They've done that with some of the profits from the rent to rent portfolio, and also by partnering up with investors who are looking for a more hands-off approach to investing. And it's just been really exciting to find out a bit more about their story, the transitions that they've gone through, how they have grown, and, you know, some of the lessons that they learned along the way. So I'm sure you'll find it as interesting as I did to have the conversation with Daniel. And yeah, that's it. So sit back, relax, and I hope you enjoy. Daniel, I'm thrilled to have you on the show today. It's been a couple of months in the planning since we first met back on one of our commercial to resi open days in February at the start of this year. And, you know, I heard about your story during the introductions at the start of the day, and immediately I was really keen to get you on and share your story with the rest of our audience as well. So thank you for being here. Thanks for taking the time to join me.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Give me a little bit of a background before we kind of come on to the property side of things. Just, you know, take us back in time to life before property, your kind of origin story, if you like, what you were going through or working on before property came something that you were so passionate about.
Okay, well, my background is very different to property. So as I was growing up, I think I was nine, and I said to my parents, I said, I want to be an actor. I'm not sure what spurred it on, but I just love that school just, I guess, being in school plays and just being the center of attention, being the class clown. So that was always kind of who I was. And I just wanted to be an actor. I didn't care for anything else. And my dad, he had a shop fitting business, and my mom was a nurse, but then she left there and worked for my dad. So very, very different backgrounds. There's no one in my family that's gone into, I guess, the entertainment industry like I did. And all throughout school, I just sort of wanted to do. And then I was on, I went to Stagecoach when I was 9 to 16. So I had that weekend kind of escape from school, and I did what I wanted to do. It was always acting. I didn't really care so much for singing or dancing. That wasn't really me, but it was just acting. And then at Stagecoach, I met one of my best friends, and we're still good friends now. And it was the kind of people that I wanted to be around. Then I fast forwarded to probably, I think I was 14. I was on my first advert for CITV, which doesn't exist anymore, but I was on an advert for that.
And I remember it well, yeah.
Yeah, it was a really big thing, because at school I didn't really talk about acting, because people thought, oh, why do you want to do that for? And then it kind of put me in a category, and I was like, do you know what? I'm just going to do my thing in the background, not talk about it. But then as soon as I was on an advert for CITV, everyone just wanted to kind of talk to me, and like I became somebody. It was really bizarre.
That was how they discovered that this boy in their class was acting. Was like, you didn't tell them until this ad came on.
Yeah. So some people, I told some people, I'm like, oh, why do you want to? Oh, you want to be an actor? They kind of like looked down on it, and I was like, well, that's my dream. That's what I want to do. And then I didn't say anything. And then this advert came, and it kind of just blew up a little bit. which was great. Because at school, it's difficult, as we know, to fit in or find who you are. You know, you're growing up and going through puberty. It's all very difficult, but that really helped me. And then I, after school, I went to college and I did acting. And I met loads of great people and I kind of found my crowd. Then I'd always wanted to work in Disney World in Florida. That was my, like a big thing. And when I was 17, I had an interview for Disney and I got a job over in Florida. So I left college. But up until this point, I'd done a whole bunch of plays. I'd done little tiny bits here and there. And I was just kind of like getting lots of experience. But in the forefront of my mind, it was always acting. That was where I wanted to go. I didn't know how it was all going to fit into place, but I just knew. But going to work in Florida in Disney World, that was a massive dream. But I should have been there for a year. I was 18, took my driving test, bought a car. I was set up for the year, but I actually got fired 2 months in, which was a massive curveball, and I had to come home.
So it wasn't the happiest place on earth for you?
No, not at that point. I mean, I've been there countless times, so it still it holds a good place in my heart. But working there is very different. Let's just say that. So I came back kind of a year early because my plan was to have 2 years out and then go to drama school. So I ended up auditioning for drama school a little bit earlier than planned. I was very, very fortunate. My parents bought an apartment in London for me, which was, it was $200,000 back in 2006. A two-bed apartment in London is not $200,000 anymore. Mm-hmm. I lived in Southwest London for the best part of 10 years. Went to drama school for 3 years. I absolutely loved it. Met some amazing people, learned a hell of a lot. And then I left. It was July 2009. I thought, right then, where's the work? And there was nothing. It was really difficult because obviously acting is, it's a lot of people's passions. And going to drama school, you know, there's a lot of people that are fighting for a place. So the odds are against you. But when you leave drama school, like, unless you go get a job in a theatre, in a play, which you have to audition for, or go get a job on a TV show or a film, you're not working. So I had to do loads of other little jobs. So I was working a lot in events, anything like self-employed, just to kind of get some money in. But on the same time, I was very lucky. I didn't have to pay rent, didn't have to kind of do all of that. I had it already. So I was very fortunate. However, a few years later, my dad actually lost his business, which resulted in a lot of things. Like a domino effect, including having to sell that apartment. So I had to move home, which was a massive thing. So I was 27 and I was like, okay, this hasn't gone to plan. Something's not right here. I just want to act. I just want to do things on my terms. Maybe this isn't going to work. So me and my brother, all of our lives have always thought we'll have a business together. We'll do something together, but we didn't know what it was. So my brother did music at uni, at Leeds. He moved to London with me for a bit and we were working together in events and we were like staying away, loads of different jobs, loads of different locations. And we always thought there's something bubbling here, but we don't know what it is. And in 2014, amongst working all the hours that we could in random jobs that we didn't really care for, we actually found there's a lot of property gurus out there that were just selling courses, all kinds of stuff. And we thought, well, property is something that we've always been used to because my dad had some buy-to-lets. And when we were younger, my dad had some student houses in Wolverhampton. And when I was about 11, I remember being there, ripping out the house so they can renovate it. And that was for me. And I didn't realize at the time, for me, that lit something in the background, which I always kept going back to. And me and Si, my brother, we were like, okay, I think there's something in property, but we don't know where to start. So kind of, my background in acting kind of led up to, I guess, the 2014 time. And it took about 2 years for us to really figure out what do we want to do? Where do we want to go? We ended up then with some of my dad's cash. We bought a house in Stoke. We renovated it. We flipped it. We made a little bit of money, not a lot. And we didn't really know what we were doing, essentially. But in hindsight now, that was something that we had to do as like a kind of like a family kind of thing that we did together to then realize, okay, we like this, but we need to learn. So we ended up 2016 getting some education, and then we realized that rent to rent was something that could be our way into the property industry without having copious amounts of cash, but it would enable us to stop doing the jobs that we'd be doing. So that essentially kind of is my journey pre-property in acting, leading up to kind of where we started.
I love it. And I mean, you said that was around about, how long ago was it that you first started to kind of think rent to rent would be?
2016, we learned that rent to rent existed. So it was November 2016, a conference room in a hotel at XL in London.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't want to go too far down this path. It's been covered before plenty, but there's a lot of cynicism shared by myself as well around these kind of big property conferences, you know, the free weekend events, and it's just an upsell funnel. But the number of people that still are exposed to them and then go on to do great things, despite maybe some of the sales tactics used and all that sort of stuff. Do you look back on that as a positive experience for yourself, or is it kind of clouded by, get your credit card and rush to the back of the room, there's only three spots remaining, all that sort of stuff?
I think it's a mixture of both, to be honest. In 2014, so it took a year and a half, 2 years of, we signed up to a whole plethora of people and we were getting emails all the time. And me and Si kept on saying, well, we can't afford to pay that. Maybe we can learn it ourselves. And at this time, I don't think there was many YouTube videos really, that we found, like there are now, where you could probably learn most of it online. So that wasn't there. So we were trying to piece together bits from what we knew. And then obviously all these emails that were coming through, and we thought, well, maybe should we bite the bullet and should we go? But it was a free seminar, this one. And we thought, we've got nothing to lose. So we went down. And there was a lot of strategies that I thought, oh my God, one day it'd be great to do that. I'd love to flip these houses. I'd love to create these epic HMOs and pull out all this cash. But then rent to rent was mentioned, and we looked at each other and we were like, that's the one. It was low money in, maximum cash flow. And we then went to our dad and said, look, Dad, we found that there's a strategy I think that can work. And what we wanted, because again, me and my brother were very lucky. We mum and dad did everything for us. We had a great childhood, great schooling. You know, they bought apartments for us. And it's then it all went, which kind of made me realize about the security of things. And his business didn't last through that recession at that time. And so we wanted to help them get out of, I guess, the hole they were in, to bring them to the next level. Even though my dad was in a very bad place, we wanted to do something together so we could work as a team and create something instead of working in all these events we'll be doing, which there was nothing to show for it. We wanted to have something of substance. We introduced him to this and he didn't get it. And we were like, okay, we get it. We want to go down. And he was like, okay, well, let's all go down and let's just do this course and let's just see. And this specific one was run by Des Taylor, which he's an incredible guy. We learned a hell of a lot from him. He was our mentor for a couple of years. We went to this little room in Milton Keynes, and for 2 days we learned about rent to rent. And there was a few other people there, and it was all very new to us. My dad was coming from a place of, I guess, being broken from building up a multi-million pound business to then having nothing. And me and my bro, who were very kind of eager and hungry to get something, at the time, looking back, I actually was very depressed in terms of where I was at. And my brother, he wasn't kind of too happy with things. So we were coming from a place of not desperation, but it was just like, we need change now. And that weekend, it was the first weekend of February in 2017, life-changing. We learned so much about the world of HMOs and what it entails, and then the world of rent to rent. We didn't think it was possible. But on the way home, Dad and Si went home, and I lived in London at the time. We were on the phone and we were just dissecting it all for a couple of hours, and we were like, okay, this is it. So then we thought of the company name, and then we went ahead, had the mentorship because we needed our hands holding, and then we just started to do it. But in terms of what you asked earlier on, yes, there's that element of, two places left, get your credit cards out. There wasn't that so much on this one that we did. It was like, well, here it is. But here it is, and choose what you want. But since then, that particular company, which doesn't exist anymore, they kind of had this whole kind of push out of materials on emails and, you know, Instagram and Facebook and stuff, just to kind of, you know, get people in, very much like probably most of those companies now, where they put so much money into it and it's all one big kind of machine that just churns out, and it's not right, I feel. But for us at the time, that specific moment in time was perfect. And
just what you needed.
Yeah, just what we needed. And the money we paid for it, I think, was definitely worth it. I don't know if those prices happen anymore, but we needed someone who was doing it to guide us, and that's what we got.
Yeah, great. And what did that first deal look like for you, and how long did that take? So you drive home, you're having these conversations, very excited about it. Did things start to happen quite quickly from there?
I was so hungry and eager to get out of what I was doing and just focus on acting. That was my big thing. I made it my mission to get the first Rent to Rent within 3 months. We were told it would take about 3 months, and it did. It was May 2017 we got it. And it took a lot of time and effort to get it. The odds were against us. We were nobodies. Now, 2024, there's a lot of companies trying to do what we were doing, and it's very difficult to get new ones. So we were very lucky when we started it back in 2017. The people around me at that time, I told them what I was doing, but they didn't get it, and they kind of looked down on it. Some of the people that I knew then, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to use that as fuel to go and really smash this. And we did it. We got the first house, and we profited about £800 a month, I think it was. It was a 6-bed. Two en suites, 4 double rooms sharing 2 bathrooms, £800, and we paid, I think, two grand in rent. So my area is the West Midlands, so pockets of the West Midlands, and Solihull was kind of number one gold mine area. And I knew we were going to get our first one there, and this big house came up, and yeah, we got it. Odds were against us. The agent, we had some issues with him getting, obviously, brand new company. We needed a guarantor, so we had to organize that. So it was a whole host of issues with it, but I wasn't going to let it stop what we wanted to achieve. And we got it. So yeah, 3 months.
Amazing.
We got
it. And just for anyone who's maybe not overly familiar with the rent-to-rent concept, maybe just kind of break that down for us. So you said you paid £2,000 for it. This was an existing HMO, or was it something that you turned into an HMO?
So the golden egg in the kind of rent-to-rent worlds are properties which are at the market value or maybe a little bit less, that might need a little bit of work, but aren't current HMOs. So we would turn it into a HMO by putting the fire doors in, putting the intermittent smokes in, getting the HMO license, furnishing the entire property, so all the bedrooms and living room, etc. That's when it becomes a HMO, kind of essentially. But this house, it was a family home, really big house. The family moved out. They'd moved somewhere locally, but they wanted to rent it out. He's a doctor. And it was, I think it was up for 2,200, but we negotiated down to 2,000. So the rent, so 2,000, the bills at the time was about £100 a head. So our outgoings were 2,600. And the rents at the time were about 550 for a double room and 600 for an ensuite, or thereabouts. And so we ended up netting about £800. So rent works extremely well in areas where the properties, the rent is a certain price. So for a Solihull, to buy a house and turn it to a HMO, you need like £250,000 deposit, then your renovation costs. And then when you refinance, if you're doing that method, then there's a lot of money left in. Whereas you can do rent to rent, like I've got quite a few in Solihull rent to rent houses, and they work really well. I think we make a lot more money on some houses than the actual owners make.
Quite possibly.
Which is a great strategy.
And you find relations with the owners typically positive. They're happy. I guess, you know, you're giving them maybe not the maximum profit. They know that you're earning from it as well, right? But I guess for them, it's peace of mind. It's security. It's kind of an easy life is what they're looking for.
Absolutely. Now, obviously, with every landlord, the aim of the game is to have the rent coming in without any issues. Obviously, the issue is sometimes tenants, well, mainly tenants. But if you have a company that comes in like us, because we knew exactly what we were going to do, it was difficult to kind of convince people initially because we were nobodies. So we had to have the guarantor. We had to have a lot of other things in place. But when they started seeing the rent come in, and fast forward 7 years, and the rent's still coming in, and there's obviously been rent uplifts, like, and they see that we look after the house, that just solidifies to them. Yes, they do what they say, and this is essentially the most passive way for a landlord to make money, is to have a rent-to-rent company mm-hmm. that know what they're doing.
How is it scaled for you from there? So that first deal, you know, some problems, but relatively quick, and some great money there. And you've been doing this for a while now. So how has that portfolio continued to develop?
Yeah. So after that, there was a little bit of a gap, maybe a couple of months. And then we got a second one, which was interesting because that was a serviced accommodation unit. A tenant of ours in the first house said, "Dan, I'm wanting to move back to my apartment, but I can't afford it. Can you rent the apartment out for me?" And I was like, "Absolutely." I was like, "I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it." And then a friend of mine, her dad was doing serviced accommodation. And I said, "Would you be interested in this?" So he loved it. It was in Birmingham City Centre. So we did a rent to rent to rent. We rented it from her at the price that she was happy with. We rented it to him with an uplift of £300. So we made £300 for nothing just by being the middleman. And we did that three times for him that year. And then at the same time, we were aggressively speaking to agents, going to do viewings. And we started to get more and more houses, more in Solihull, some in Birmingham. At the time, it wasn't Article 4, so it was a lot easier. And then Warwick as well. That's another goldmine area of ours. And we just didn't stop. And fast forward 7 years, we've had to give a couple of them back through various reasons. But I think we've got about 15 at the moment. We're getting another one, actually. We've not had one for a while because we've been buying. But we've got, 15. And they make around about at least £1,000 a month. Net on each of them. One of them actually makes £2,000 a month. That's in Solihull,
one house
right by the station. One house, we net £2,000 a month, and the rent is 1,850. I think
that's phenomenal.
It's insane. Like £850 for a double room with a shared bathroom. I never thought we could do it, but we're doing it. It's blows my mind.
A phenomenal success for you, and I don't want to take away from that at all. But you think 7 years. You know, 15 houses, you've probably taken on more than that, and some have gone back, maybe landlords have wanted to sell or whatever. But for anyone sitting here thinking, you know, don't want to get into property, can it really give me the freedom or the security that I want? Like, I don't know anyone that's going to get a £15,000 pay rise over the next 6 or 7 years, right? So to be able to build a business that gives you that, yeah, it's just I've done 400 plus episodes now, right? I know the economics of property, but it doesn't fail to surprise me the businesses that you can build in a relatively short space of time that can completely change your life.
Yeah, it's something that it's not for everyone, I don't think, because yes, people might want to get into property to have some freedom or whatever it is, but 7 years in, we're not free yet. We do things on our terms, absolutely, but I can't wake up every day and go, right, today I'm going here. And
you're not living on the beach.
I'm not at that. Not yet. I'm not on a yacht yet. it's difficult. It's a lot more difficult than I thought it was going to be. There's a lot of groundwork that needs to go in, and the systems you need, as you know, are so important in order for you to then scale. So yes, we've got these 15 rent-to-rents, which have definitely changed our lives in terms of we don't have to do the jobs we used to do. So we have money coming in each month. During this time, obviously COVID came. Now that's obviously a difficult time for property. We had 17 people leave like that. Within 48 hours, 17 notices came in, and we were like, how are we going to deal with this? So we had to navigate through that. It taught us a lot. We trimmed the fat in the business. There were things that were going out that shouldn't have been, and we kind of sorted all of that out, tightened up, and we had to just readjust. And for a good year, we had to really bring our prices down, which really affected things. But then there was a massive kind of jump, and the rents started going up because people were moving and people wanted different places. They wanted, and they would have paid anything. And that's when we started to really put our prices up. A double room is 550, then it went to 700. I just thought, you know what? I don't care. I'm going to try it.
Yep.
Put it on spare room. They went. And then like now for these 850s, I get £900 a month for a double en suite in Solihull. That's nearly £1,000. So like, that's London prices. And these houses, I've not renovated them ourselves. We've just adapted a house. So they're not like incredible. Mm-hmm. They could be so much more, but they're not. But people are still paying it, which is interesting. We obviously take a lot of pride in our houses and make the best out of what we've got with the stock that we've got. But now that we're buying, which is obviously all been possible from what we've done, we are making our HMOs in our new areas so incredibly premium that it's going to be like they're going to blow everything else out the water. But looking back at our first rent-to-rent house, it's just like, wow, can't believe we're getting that. And we're still getting that, probably a little bit more now. But ultimately, getting into property, if you have no money and want to kind of, I guess, probably ease your way in, maybe rent-to-rent's the way. And it teaches you a lot about HMOs, about management of tenants, what you need to know. In the HMO world, there's a lot with it, with the councils, legislation, all kinds of stuff, which I didn't realize. But now we've become masters at this, and we know what's what. The councils know us. So every time we put an application in, they know the standard that they're going to be presented with, which speaks volumes. So it's not an overnight thing, but it's definitely a very quick way. Especially in areas where you can't normally buy.
What was the plan to acquire properties, to buy them? Was that always part of the longer term strategy when you started thinking about rent to rent?
Yeah. So at the time, we always thought, oh, we need our own money to buy. So we thought, well, let's just replace our incomes and let's just build up our income to buy. But obviously, along the way, we've realised you don't need that. There are people out there. You're working 60 hours a week and I've got a lot of money sitting there, but they've got no time to do anything with it. Whereas we literally have all of our time free to go and find deals and do what we need to. We don't have all that cash sitting there at the moment. So if we tie ourselves up with investors, we can both kind of benefit from what we're doing, having that money in to pay for deposits and legals and renovations. And they're making a nice return on their cash that was just going to be sitting there. It's a no-brainer. But I know a lot of people now who are desperate to get out of their corporate job. And so by investing in property with others who are doing it already, it's going to make them do that quicker. And from our side, we need to build our portfolio with other people's money. I mean, the only way we can do it is literally by these people who have got all this money sitting there. So we've learned, I guess, and our reputation that we've built as well. We can just jump in and, you know, get £1 million worth of investment without anything behind us. We had to go through rent to rent. We had to do all the things that we did and learn what we did, meet the people that we did to end up kind of where we are now, 7 years on, where, I mean, right now I'm buying four houses. I already own three. So I'll be having seven very soon. But by the end of the year, I set myself a task for 10, but I'm hoping it's going to be 15. So we're not even halfway through.
Things
yet.
Are going well. That's amazing.
Seven. So, yeah, absolutely. And I think I couldn't be doing this without, like I said, without the rent to rent side, and without working with my dad and my brother, who are all bringing different skills to the mix. Like, it wouldn't be possible at all. And now I feel that we're at this point where we're just going to exponentially grow because everything, all the foundations are in place, all the groundwork has been done, and now we can just grow.
It's a really interesting point that, you know, I often ask people, you know, if you could go back and do it all again, would you do anything differently? But to the point you just made there, you know, we don't know if one slight change would have the impact that we think it would. And in a lot of ways, you need to have gone through the steps that you have done to get where you are. We can't just jump straight into, oh, well, you know what, we're gonna go out, we've got no experience, but we're gonna create a social media account, and all of a sudden this money's gonna fall from the heavens and people are gonna want to invest with us. You wouldn't have been able to get to the stage that you're at now without going through what you have been through. So I, you know, maybe I need to tweak that question a little bit for future, because it doesn't really serve. It is your story that has got you where you are. So why would you change that?
That's true. It's a good question. And I look back over the last 7 years, or even more, look, the last 20 years. And I just think, well, if I didn't do that, I wouldn't have been there. For example, back to when I got fired from Disney World, if I didn't get fired on, or it's August 2005, I'd have been there until the year after, and I wouldn't have gone down this path. I wouldn't have moved to London when I did, and gone to drama school when I did. I could have gone to a different one, may not even gotten at all. And then it's just like, well, where would I have been? But I'm so glad what's happened has happened, and things may have taken a bit longer than others, but ultimately, the property journey that I'm on has enabled me to work with my dad and my brother, which I couldn't imagine any other way of being. I've had businesses with others as well, but it hasn't been as I guess organic as the family business. And along the way, because of what we've done, I met my now fiance and we have a baby. So Paige came to me on June 1st, 2021, looking for a room. And little did I know, that day I was going to meet the mother of my children.
You knew that Spare Room was a dating app as well.
I know. And I messaged Spare Room. I think I did a post on Instagram and I thanked Spare Room and they commented back. It was very funny. It's mad. I never thought in a million years. But yeah, June 1st, 21, 4 o'clock, Paige had a viewing at one of my houses. I'll never forget it. And I fell in love with her the second I met her. And all because I created this business. I had this house. There was a room available. I thoroughly believe in all these, you know, actions all lead to kind of where we need to be. That tenant put in their notice to leave. If he didn't, she wouldn't have been, she wouldn't have seen the advert. So it's all these little things that add up. And then we have a beautiful little boy. We're engaged. It's amazing. So without this business, I wouldn't be as happy
as
I am now.
Such a sweet story. I'm thrilled for you and congratulations as well. It's a 6-month-old little boy you've got, right?
Thank you.
Just kind of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Roman, he is
in the thick of it right now.
Brilliant. We love him so much. Yeah. Oh yeah. He's just started eating solids. He loves, last night was courgette. He absolutely loved courgette. He doesn't like sweet potato. So we'll have to kind of get him around on that. But yeah, he is very curious about everything. He just loves seeing everything. And he's in that mid bit. He's turning over, but he's not crawling yet, but you can tell that he's really wanting to.
It's chaos. As soon as they start moving, it's just a whole different ballgame. But you'll be great. you've mentioned the relationship with your dad and your brother a couple of times. I'd love to know how that plays out from a business point of view. A lot of people are building property businesses on their own, but many of us do it with a spouse or a friend or a relative. How has that worked for you, good and bad? Do you have clearly defined roles and responsibilities, or is it just like, we'll all just roll up our sleeves, muck in and see what happens?
Yeah, there's a kind of mixture of both, really. We naturally found our kind of places at the beginning. So being an actor, I'll speak to anyone. I was the kind of, the front-facing person, going to agents, having meetings with them, doing viewings. Then when we got tenants in, I was doing the viewings with them and being like the tenant liaison, essentially. I was, the face of it, if want for a better word. My dad, coming from the background of 40 plus years of, or 30 plus years of carpentry, shop fitting, that whole side there. So yeah, very handy, knows all of that industry. I guess, so that's covering like maintenance side, that's covering anything to do with, getting your hands dirty with all that kind of stuff. I mean, we all love decorating, so we chip in with that, but my dad does all the woodwork. And my brother, he's very techie. He's very different to me. He doesn't like to be in the limelight or anything. He likes to be in the background by himself. So he's created our system. He does all the contracts. We use Zoho. We bespoke made our CRM system to what we needed it to be. And so he's done all of that. And so, he does all the techie stuff, websites and contracts, automation and the flow of that kind of thing. So all three of us couldn't do it without each other. So I definitely think that we had a head start with that. And fast forward to now that we're buying, my dad's naturally taken on the project management role because he used to project manage all of his projects before. So that's easy for him. I'm doing viewings. I'm getting the deals done. I'm getting investments, speaking to people about all kinds of things in the pipeline, whether that is investors, whether it's, joint venture partners. And my dad is lining up all the trades. And my bro is working on all of the forecasts, all the spreadsheets, all of that kind of, admin stuff, which he probably hates some of it, but ultimately he's made the systems for it. So he's very good at that. We've got some of the team now. One of my friends, Emma, she works for us. She is now the, tenant liaison. She's the property manager. So when I went on paternity leave last year, we have WhatsApp groups on every house. It was always kicking off and I couldn't do it. So I stepped away. Emma's taken over, which I'm thankful about. But yeah, we've got a couple of other guys that work for us and do little bits, but we're in that position now where we kind of too big for where we were, but we're too small for where we're going. So we need to figure out, okay, how are we going to work this so we can cover all these extra rooms that we're getting, all these properties that we're going to be renovating. So yeah, we are at that point where we need full-time staff, but it's figuring that out right now, which is a great position to be in because I can't wait to be there. Then we could take a step back from some of the jobs that we've been doing and then just focus on growing, which is what we have started to do over the last year.
It's definitely a process to go through that evolution of, you know, you start and you kind of don't have a choice. You have to do everything yourself. If you've ever read the E-Myth, you know, one of the things he suggests is that you kind of, you map out your org chart for the business that you want to build. But the reality is, on day one, you're probably fulfilling all the roles from, like, you know, CEO down to sweeping the floors. You're doing marketing, you're doing sales, you're doing tech, you're doing, you know, everything. And as you grow, the idea is that you kind of elevate yourself and push yourself up to the highest value tasks, but also where you can bring the most value to the business. And it's great to see you going through that, because so many people get stuck just being that busy landlord. They can't kind of see beyond that and think, no, this, now it's time to turn this more into a business, to create systems, to employ people. And, you know, ultimately they're driving around with the big bunch of keys on their tool belt, and they've got the toolbox in the boot of the car. They're the maintenance guy. You know, they continue to try and play all those roles, but that stops their growth. Did you, again, you know, was that an intentional thing for you? Do you feel like the business side of things has come naturally to you? How did you, you know, get to that stage where you thought, I guess, you know, you mentioned your dad has had a successful business in the past as well, so you've been through that, but was it a difficult transition to go from doing everything to playing more of a leadership role in the business?
I think we all bring so much to it. There's not so much a kind of a leader role. We're all really good at what we do. When we come together, it just works. I can't really put it into words. The three of us, it's like three CEOs essentially. We all know what we need to achieve with the business. We all know where we want to go with it. So we're all doing what we need to in order to make that happen. And I guess naturally being, like I mentioned, I'm doing the viewings and being the front of it. I'm happy with that. My dad and my brother are happy with that. So I guess if you're looking in on the business, you see my face or you hear me a lot, you know, if I'm doing viewings and things, and that's totally fine. I know what we're looking for. The guys trust that I know what I'm doing. So when I'm viewing houses, I mean, I know if a house works without even really going, if I've got everything in front of me, I just need to go just to get a vibe of the place, and away we go. I can definitely remotely buy houses, and then when we get the keys, go in. I definitely feel I can do that now, but I do like to do all of that still. But we're still working on the systems and making sure that it can run better. The ideal situation is that we don't want a specific amount of houses. We want a specific amount of income that will enable us to actually just pause, let things run with the staff, and just be present. I'm very lucky with, I work from home, I'm with Paige and Roman all the time. Yes, at the moment I'm having to do loads of stuff going, we've got all these houses that we're buying and renovating, and I'm out and about a lot. I look after some of the landlord's houses too. So there's a lot going on, but ultimately I'm working on replacing Paige's income so she doesn't have to go back to work, and then building further income so we can go and buy the house that we want in this area, go on extra holidays and do all the things that I guess most people want to do, but I'm actually doing it. You know, the proof is here. You know, we've got all these houses rent to rent. We've got the ones that we're managing, the ones that we're buying. There's a lot of time and effort going in right now, but I know a year from now, I'll be in a different place. And then 5 years from now, a completely different place. So it's all this groundwork, which I think that we, as I guess leaders in our own, let's say, departments, I think that's probably the best way to put it. Carrying on how we're doing this and all the little kind of everyday bits. Like I had this morning, there was some issues with some tenants in a house and I had to sort it out. And I was like, I don't want to be doing this, but I have to do it because I'm seen as that I guess the leader in the tenant size. So happy to do what I need to, but ultimately reframing the way that tenants see us, so we can, I guess, the narrative of their journey can be led by
sure
other people, as opposed to the owners of the company.
What's been the biggest change for you going from that rent to rent model to actually owning the properties? Are you fussier about what you buy? Is it, you know, I suppose it's a different mindset because it's a lot more cash to outlay in the first instance.
Yeah. So I've always thought, oh, it's going to be a lot of, you need to have certain credentials to buy houses. You need to have this, this, and this, but it turns out you don't. And I didn't get my first mortgage until a year ago. I've never owned my own house, and I never owned a buy-to-let. This was all kind of the direction we were going in, so we could do this. It's a lot easier than I actually thought, which is a bit silly. I could have done this 20 years ago when I was 18. But ultimately, when we transitioned or decided to transition from rent-to-rent to buying, the area was the biggest thing. We couldn't buy in Solihull or Warwick. However, saying that, I'm buying a house in Warwick, which is 130 grand below market value. I don't know how it's happened, but we've got it. And that house is going to be an extremely good earner. And we'll leave no money in. I didn't think that was possible to buy what we're buying in Warwick, but we're getting it. My new area is Rugby. The properties are very well priced for what we need to do. There's a big demand. And actually, when we met a couple of months ago, you mentioned about Article 4 and Rugby. And that was something that I hadn't, later on that day, I saw an article. I was like, oh, okay, so it might be coming in. And so it got me thinking then, I need to up my game with getting houses in Rugby before February next year if they do bring in Article 4. So I've really ramped it up. That's why I'm buying, got 4 on the go right now. So Rugby is a great area. Purchase price up to 250 is what we go for. We need to make at least a 5-bed. Obviously, with a 5-bed, the price will be different. But the first house I got was 210. We turned into a 6-bed, 6-bath, and got the GDV that we we wanted a higher GDV, but it is what it is. But I know that what we do in the other houses will be more. And because if Article 4 comes in, that will limit the amount of HMOs. Therefore, our HMOs and others will be worth more. So as we refinance over the years, it's all going to be very, very positive. So all this groundwork that we're doing now, yes, there's more money. There's a couple of extra zeros at the end of the investment needed. But someone told me a while ago, it doesn't matter what money is. It's all the same, just relative to where you're at. So a 10 grand investment for a rent-to-rent house was like, back in the day, I was like, wow, that's a lot of money for this. 100 grand now we're working with for renovation costs, and it's just like, well, that it is what it is. That's what we have to pay, and investors happy, we're happy, the deal stacks up, it all works. So yeah, I think it's just all relative to where you're at. If 8 years ago someone said you're going to buy this house, it's going to cost 100 grand, the deposit's going to be 60 grand, legals are 7 grand, I'd be like, wow, this is a lot of money. I've not touched that yet, so I don't know how I'd handle it. But now, because we've got all of this, I guess, CV of work, I'm comfortable with it, and I'm looking forward to going to the next level, which will be exciting. Well, that'll be a couple of years away, but ultimately, it's like a kind of copy and paste. And the fact, what's great now is other people have seen what we're doing, and they're messaging me saying, "I've got this money sitting around. Can we do something with it? I want to buy with you." And then I'm like, I actually genuinely right now have more investors lined up than houses. So that was very different from before when I had more houses and we had to let a few deals go because we didn't have investors lined up. So yeah, I think it's all relative.
I don't want to throw too many more investors your way, but just, you know, kind of talk to me about why you think a lot of people struggle with raising finance, right? What do you think has worked well for you in that regard?
I think that people might think that you need to be a certain way, do a certain thing. But ultimately, I've just been myself. I've learned, and I know that what I can bring to the table, and that is a good deal, a good tradesman, and tenants to fill those rooms. So we offer, it's just kind of organically happened. We're doing JVs, but we're also sourcing, project managing, and letting for investors who want kind of to own the whole asset themselves, but want a hands-off approach. So we're doing that as well. And I think from on the day that when we met, I know you talked about some of the things that you do, and it's all kind of, yeah, the beginnings of that. So it's kind of working out well. I've just been myself. And if anyone is looking to find investors, just be your authentic, true self. Show that you can do what you say that you do, whether that's through getting a booklet designed, whether it's doing a walk around of some houses. As long as there's something there, I think an investor, and they like you, I think an investor will invest. There's investors. I had a call earlier on from someone who he's got a couple of investors who are happy to invest. They've never met me. They've just seen one of my booklets.
And what is that booklet? Just getting quite tactical. That booklet that you put together, is that just about, you know, your case studies of past projects and how you work with investors, or what's in there that would make somebody think, yeah, Daniel's the guy I want to work with?
So I've got a couple at the moment. One's the rent to rent one, which we got designed a while ago for one of my friends who does all of our designs. He created a booklet because when we started rent to rent, we had nothing. I created a little PDF just to kind of say, oh, we're a company and we help people relocate and blah, blah, blah. You know, looking back now, it's terrible, but we got what we wanted. So you just got to do what you need to. You got to put yourself in the shoes of the agent or the landlord. And obviously it's the agent's reputation and it's the landlord's asset. So it's like, what have you got to do to prove that you can do what you say you're doing? So we created a booklet that said what we do or what we intended to do. Obviously the wording you use could be ambiguous because obviously you're brand new. So obviously you're not going to have a history, but we said that we worked with another company in London, sure. Which we essentially did. He was the mentor of ours. So it all worked. But in order to get what we needed, we need to have, something. So we've got a logo, we've got all of that stuff done, business cards and email signatures. In fact, email signatures, that's, even though it's probably a big oversight on some people when they start a company, but it actually really says a lot. You have an email from someone and you've got a full-on signature with links to everything. It looks like you know what you're doing. You've spent the time to do it and it just adds weight to your brand. So things like that really help. The new ones that I'm doing, that's my... projects that have been completed, current projects and the pipeline. I've just broken down all of the numbers, what we are putting in, what it's cost, what we're going to get from it, what the refinance we hope, what it kind of will be. Just having all these numbers and pictures. I take pictures of our projects all the time. We've got a house that we're working on at the moment, and I love going down every week just to get new media, just so I can have a bank of stuff. Yeah. I just love a house with renovation. Like the chimneys got taken out. It was stunning. I just love all of that. And in fact, I used one of those pictures of where the chimney was with the smoke, and you could see where it had gone. And that was one of the background pictures. In fact, our new broker commented on that particular picture saying how incredible it looked on the background, having all your numbers at the front. So you just never know who's going to look at it and kind of comment or pass on to someone, because those images will stand out. So yeah, images and content of...
I love it.
What you're doing.
Just talk to me briefly about your plans for the future. It sounds as though you've got, you know, you've got a lot to keep you busy just now, but you've also got an eye on what's coming next. So where do you see this business going long term?
Okay, so we are aggressively buying houses in the areas that work for us at the moment. When Article 4 comes into rugby, if it does, we'll be finding another area before then, and we'll just do the same there. It's the BRRR model. HMOs, it's the most margin out of, I believe, all the strategies at the moment. But saying that, I am working on other projects for, there's a landlord of ours that we look after a whole lot of his houses. He wants to go into the supported living and care side, which is a very interesting part of the industry. There's a lot with it. And I've been doing a lot of research on that and helping him get some of his houses out to the right kind of people, but also building a care company for him. So that's something that I'm working on with him. And I'm very intrigued as to see where that can go, because I would like to start buying houses that could go towards companies that are doing that. So there's some areas in North Birmingham that work really well. There's a lot of demand for certain things. So I like to think that within the next 5 years, we're going to have a really good amount of properties that we own. We probably will be phasing out our rent-to-rents, ones that we just not maybe not working so well, or ones that maybe need a bit of work but the landlord doesn't want to do it. So we could mm-hmm. slowly get rid of those ones, keep the good ones, because that's cash still coming in. Our properties that we'll own will supersede the amount that we rent-to-rent. Again, it's not about the amount of houses, it's about what income it can bring. So when we're all at a certain level, that's, I think, when we can just take a breather. But at the same time, if I can buy houses that need some work, do them up and refinance them and give them to a guaranteed rent company, i.e. a care company, supported living. So 5-10 years, have that money coming in, which will obviously be a lot more than the market value rent, then that's something that I'm definitely working towards, just to diversify. Because doing the premium house shares is great. There's always going to be a demand for it. I wouldn't do anything lower than that. And then working on, yeah.
Just in case anyone wants to find out a little bit more about you and your background, keep in touch with you, follow your progress over the next stage of your business. Are you active online? Where's the best place for people to get in touch and to follow along?
So I use Instagram mainly. So Daniel_Blacker is my personal one. On there are links to businesses that we have, but I have been very, very slack with content. Ever since Roman was born, our lives are taken up by baby. But I will be starting to push out more content. As soon as we finish these properties that we've got, I've got a lot of content that I just want to start pushing out there, just to show the kind of the journey of buying the house all the way up to letting it to the tenants that we have, and obviously talking about all of the refinancing that we can do and the kind of figures. I'm not interested in, like, there's a lot of content out there. People start to kind of go into maybe selling the way they've done things. All I want to kind of put out there is to say, look what we've done for coming from nothing. Coming from an acting background is obviously my thing, which I'm on that note, acting will always be there. It's just, I need to build this property portfolio to support the rest of my life with my family. So maybe if it's next year or if it's 10 years time, I get my next acting job. I don't mind. I'm loving putting my creativity into this, and just working on what I need to, just so we can live a good life. And then a little bonus.
Excellent.
Would be,
well, I've absolutely loved having you on the show, Daniel, and sharing your story. Great to find out a bit more about you and how you've got to where you are. Massive congratulations for everything that you've achieved, and all the best for the future. But yeah, thank you so much for your time today.